Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to a, well, I want to say festive version of the Red Men podcast. It is and it isn't. We very much had a specifically festive podcast plan to go out on a normal time on Tuesday. It was going to be pre-recorded because we've had obviously trying to balance work, life and Christmas. But we couldn't do that because obviously the Premier League's future has been up in the air for the last 5 days. The Premier League clubs met and the owners met at 1 o'clock on Monday to decide what was going to happen in the face of rising COVID cases and a slew of fixture postponements that we've seen over the last week or so. We're going to be discussing what's come about from all that. We're going to be taking some Christmas-themed kickoff questions, and we're going to have a little look ahead to Leicester in the League Cup now that we know a little bit more about on how that might impact Jurgen Klopp's team selections. I'm Paul Machen. Steve Hoare joins me for this one. Very slapdash. We're working burning the midnight oil. I mean, we're live, so you all know that it's half five.
It's late for me.
It's tea time, and I'm not eating my dinner, and I'm hangry, but I'm here to discuss vaccinations.
And COVID.
Yeah,
that's brilliant. Merry Christmas, everyone. I don't think we wanted to do something really festive for the podcast like we usually do. We just didn't know if the tone was going to be right because we didn't know we've recorded it and then football's cancelled or behind closed doors or it's not on or it is on. So I think that's why we made the decision, isn't it, to go later today and after this meeting and see what happened. Mm-hmm. And it turns out nothing happened.
Yeah,
we roll on.
The story was they looked at all the situations that saw more than 50% of the games postponed at the weekend. We saw postponed fixtures in the midweek fixtures before that. We've seen Tottenham Hotspur now booted out of the Conference League because they couldn't fulfil their fixture against Rennes, and the Premier League's answer to this was, shut up, just get on with it. which I thought was great. And the problem we've got with all this, and we'll go through some of the details in a sec, but I get it. Like, the owners have lost so much money across the club. They're terrified of a world where if you set a precedent of we miss a round of games, then you're on a pathway to let's give football a break for a bit, or let's start cancelling, or that, you know, and there's a lot of managers who are very wary, I think, of a world where we end up with another postponed period with no football happening.
Yeah, it's part of that. It's also the fact that, like, the games have to be played somewhere, and, like, we don't know, we just don't know where the world's going to be in 2 weeks' time, we just do not know anything. So is it a case of you just crack on, because, like, you could have a 2 week break, and then in 2 weeks' time, the numbers haven't gone anywhere in the country. We don't know where we are. And then you're just opening football up again in the middle of it. And it's harder to do that.
Yeah.
It's harder to say everything's the exact same as it was 2 weeks ago when we jibbed it off. Here you go, lads.
We'll leave it another 2 weeks. Because if you remember, when it was originally stopped in 2020, you know, it's mad that we're almost 2 years up catching up to this. It was going to be postponed till the end of the month. And then we had this hope the footy would be back within weeks, and then it wasn't. Now, I can't quite see that being the situation, and there's certainly some political manoeuvring just to try and encourage footballers to get vaccinated. But I wonder whether there's a bit of that to it, of course. But their solution to this is just play it under 21s or under 23s, as it is these days, which, as long as there's uniformity Because that's been the problem this last week, is that, you know, there's been no clarity over how many cases certain clubs have actually got and who those players are, because there's a lot of tangled up in, like, Premier League contracts say that the medical records are allowed to remain secret, effectively. That's part of players' contracts to the clubs.
Yep.
So the clubs actually, technically, if the players don't want that to be public knowledge, or the agents don't want that to be public knowledge, then the clubs aren't allowed to make that public knowledge. Now, Liverpool seem to be setting quite a high bar in terms of all of this stuff. It looks like they've sat everyone down and just gone, this is the reality of the world, no dicking about. If we want to achieve what we want to achieve, then this is how we're going to tackle things. But quite clearly, that's not happening across the board. But the issue with this is, what we wanted to hear out of this, and we might yet hear this, is what's the bar? So what is the bar for a postponement?
What they've said is, if you can field a team that's got a goalie and 13 players, so if you've got a squad of 14, then you've got enough players to have a full team and three players on a bench who you can bring on. That's the bar.
Yeah.
I suppose I'm a big NFL fan, and the NFL got a lot of stick, and rightly so, whether, because it does some really, I don't know, dodgy thing. Not dodgy, but like something questionable, ethical, moral things at times in terms of players and safety and stuff. But they have a thing called the COVID list, and a player drops out, they get put on that list, and everyone knows. That would make it a bit clearer. So, for example, games, and what, again, there's games that were meant to be played at the weekend in the NFL that are getting played tonight and some on Tuesday night. And it was just, they moved them along a bit because they were able to say, here's every single person on the COVID list who's got COVID. Here's how long they're going to have to isolate for. That's why we can't play the game. Now, we don't know. Like, for example, Leicester had, we think, 6 COVID cases and then 5 injuries as well. So that counted as 11 players out, in which case they can't play a game. But that, we're guessing here. We are guessing.
The problem is there's no trust in it.
No.
Because there's so much at stake with every kick of the ball. The clubs will do everything in their power. And we saw this, the self-interested owners, you know, God knows, you know, the West Ham, the dickheads who own West Ham, coming out and having their the null and void stuff, when it was just clearly in the interest of keeping their clubs in a better position. You know, where all the relegation clubs are, well, let's null and void it. And the problem is, again, it's like Sam Allardycean culture of using everything to your advantage. It's a big game. It's very Tory behavior, to be perfectly honest. But it's like, there's like, well, as long as you're not breaking the rules, but if you're bending the rules, and to be honest, like, Liverpool will have a degree to do that. We all do that. Like, it's the dark arts on the pitch, but there's the dark arts off the pitch. And the fear is, because there's no trust amongst different club to club, that someone won't use this to their advantage. And because that doubt exists, and because there's not enough transparency over which players are in or out, that's just going to grow. And it's why Liverpool were very clear that Jordan Henderson had a cold and did not have COVID, because him being out with an illness at the same time, it's two things. It's them trying to set an example and go, look, we're telling you everything that's going on with our players. But equally, it's to stop anyone going. When he then comes back after a couple of days, people go, hang on a second, why was he, have you lied, or have you retested within the 10 days? And then all this kind of stuff. It's a mess. It's a big mess. And I don't think they've solved this. They haven't solved this problem at all. They've just basically gone, hey, let's suck it and see.
Yeah, and they've said they'll review it in 2 weeks' time, and they'll see where we are and see where the country is again. It's one of those, Pauls, that, like, I think they've... Are they just happy to let COVID spread then? We're happy for everyone to get COVID as long as 14 of them don't. That's potentially in there. Again, I don't know what the right and wrong answer is. Like, I do not know what the answer is, because, like I say, COVID, we're going to have to learn to live with it forever. It's going to be here forever in some form. Again, there's vaccinations and there's stuff, and the in and out of lockdowns. And at some point, it's got to all stop. But I just don't know what it is and what the answer is. I'm not clever enough for that. I vote people in charge to figure that out. Yeah. They haven't got a clue either. So it's like, I don't know what the right answer was. I think the more important thing for the break, and I would have been for the break on that game of the 28th, 29th, 30th, and it seems like Liverpool were pushing for this as one of the clubs, ultimately they couldn't get an agreement, is it's not really all to do with the stopping of spreading COVID, which, by the way, is a big part of it. It's also the guys who haven't got COVID are going to have to play Leicester in the League Cup on the 22nd, then play on Boxing Day on the 26th, and then 28th. And usually you'd say, use your big squad and rotate and give 5, 6, 7 of these lads are resting each of them. Now Liverpool can't do that.
Well, yeah, let me give the best example. I've just done the starting 11 prediction and we had a chat about it on the build-up show for Leicester. Is Liverpool's midfield three that started against Spurs was Tyler Morton, James Milner, and it was Naby Keita. Now, in any other world, that's the midfield three that starts against Leicester, but they've just started the senior game instead. And what you're looking at then is, okay, so you've got Oxlade-Chamberlain to throw into the mix, and then senior options. We've seen Tacky play in midfield. Sorry, I'm just looking over at our board, so I just ignore my eye line on this one. And then you're getting into realms of, do you have to change? You're probably having to change formation, or you're trying someone at completely out of position, or you're putting another random kid in there. And you're right, look at what's available to Liverpool. So there's a chance that Fabinho might be back by Boxing Day. So because of depending when he first registered as positive, I think technically the 10 days comes to the Sunday the 26th, I think. Now, even if that's the case, that's his isolation ending.
He can't play Boxing Day.
Exactly. He's been training on Zoom or in his garden or something for 10 days leading up to that. So he's not physically ready for that game, but you might have to take the risk. So you might have to drop Fabinho in. Well, what you're doing is you've got an increased risk of injury. We've seen Brendan Rodgers talking about this. We've seen Gerrard talking about this as well, and that's where the complaints are coming from. Jürgen Klopp saying, I've not got enough players to do with this in this situation. And that's this, bear in mind, Liverpool had a full squad a week ago. Like we had everyone back from injury. Curtis Jones finally back from injury. Harvey Elliott's on the mend. We actually had the biggest squad to choose from than we've had. And then all of a sudden, there's four players have just been taken out. And that's not accounting for the fact that, let's be honest, given the way it's going, I would be shocked if there wasn't another case or two that presents itself in the next week. And then, as you say, what you're left with, who you're rotating in. And if they want the integrity of the competition, I think they're doing it because there's two variations on integrity. Integrity is, you know, give it a week and let everyone get the things back. But then again, what happens when clubs then lose? We lose three attackers to this in 2 weeks' time when everyone comes back. You're left with the same situation. Or just go press on. But it's always going to preference. It's going to favour bigger clubs because we're going to have deeper squads and better quality of under 23 players. It's a mess. It's just a mess.
Yeah, we just don't know. Again, I don't know what the right answer is. I don't know. And I think the main worries you've got looking ahead, if you stop playing, when do you come back? Because we could, you know, life goes on. People, the players, and again, they're not going to lock themselves in the house. Maybe that's the answer. Maybe they just turn themselves back into bubble robots. But that's hard to do again. And life, you know, if you've got kids, you go to school and come back to the house. And, you know, like, we don't know how these positive cases come. It's just, it's out of control in the country.
The trick's going to have to be, unfortunately, because I, in wider society, I can understand that there's trepidation over vaccinations and stuff. People we're all anxious about a variety of things. You know, if I had to be vaccinated at a great height, that'd certainly put me off doing it. I mean, it's not the case, but it is. But there are certain places and professions in this regard, and you see in the conversation already turning towards this, lots of stories over the weekend. Jürgen Klopp talking about like profiling players who are double vaccinated in terms of who you wouldn't sign. Gerrard mentioned it as well, and Klopp talked about them basically being a danger to the rest of the squad if you're getting someone who's not, because they'd end up having to have their own training regimes. They have to travel on separate coaches. They have to do all this and that if we're in the middle of another spike. That it's hopefully there's a degree of it which is just like, just go and get it sorted. And I get there's a lot of fear. There's a great article by Si Hughes on the Athletic on this, by the way, where he talks to an unnamed EFL chairman, I think it was, who said he explained some of the difficulties in this. Is there's people in their 20s who are just basically being fed loads of really questionable information online and then being a bit panicky about the impacts and all, which of course if you were told loads of negative things, you would naturally feel negative things about it. It's like, but I'll be honest, if I only went off my mum's and my auntie's Facebook walls, I would be terrified to let my children leave the house because apparently there's paedophiles and predators on every street corner. But that it's all about how much of that information is presented to you and how susceptible you are to it. I think they're gonna just present a situation where they go, is the reality, lads, and that's where we're all at, really. We might not like it for whatever reason, but they're just going to lead themselves to a path of saying, Soz, this is the world, this is this, and this is what they're presenting as the solution to it.
The flip side is, mate, Liverpool, everyone's vaccinated, and
5-0. But clearly Liverpool have had that conversation, is point. Liverpool have been mature enough to have the conversation amongst the camp and say, this is the science, this is the solution. This is what we're going to choose to buy into. And of course, it hasn't stopped Liverpool having cases, but what's been encouraging so far from the reports is that Van Dijk, Thiago, Jones and Fabinho are all asymptomatic. So when they come back, they should be able to walk straight in without any...
The only one who had symptoms was Henderson, who tested negative.
It has nothing to do with COVID.
I think Jürgen referenced, he said it was, again, I'm not getting into the weeds of vaccines, pros and cons, but he said they didn't have the boosters in time, which maybe didn't help them in this regard. And I think that's happened to a lot of the country. People, again, there's people who are anti-vaccines and that UBU, whatever. People who are pro-vaccines, a lot of it are cases like, if you get the, you know, there wasn't time for the booster before it happened. So there's people who've had all three jabs and still got COVID. So it doesn't stop anything.
The problem is, there's no 100% solution to anything. But we're in football in particular, where we're faced with now, whether we like it or not, whether we feel it's been a situation that's been manipulated by duplicitous sources, pernicious forces from outside, or whether it's just something that's happened by accident or whatever. The reality is now what the reality is, and they're going to need to do something that reduces the risk, because your point is going nowhere, and football is going to continually face this problem, because every week 50,000 of us get into a stadium together to watch this as well. So you're never going to be able to cut it out completely. But what they're going to try and do is try and minimize the impact of it, and the only way for them to do that is to have as close to 100% vaccination rate as possible. And again, that's why I'm quite pleased with how Liverpool have handled it and how maturely they've handled it, because hopefully what it means is that the impact will be lower. And we've seen reports already, the vaccination rate is higher in other leagues around Europe, and it's having a far lesser impact. They're not postponing games at the rate that they're postponing them in England. Now, that could be because we're all money grabbing, cheating, corner cutting, you know, blurts, trying to gain advantage in games, or it could be
need
to be vaccinated.
Other countries, again, it's different rates of COVID, so they maybe haven't hit the wave that we've hit, and maybe we're ahead. Like, there's so much around it that we just, it's so uncertain, and there's so much about it. Like, at some point, it's almost like they've gone, right, we're just carrying on until we can't, and if it means that we have to postpone 4 games a week, but the other 6 can get played, then we are where we are, and we'll deal with this mess when we're hopefully out of this madness that we're in now, where it's just gone out of control. And listen, the other elephant in the room is that there's government decisions to be made soon as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
which might impact things like behind closed doors and all that.
I don't think they ever would, but they could just knock it all down again. They could, again, and last time, when it was the Premier League who called it off before the government did. But like, we're beholden to that as well.
Yeah.
There's just talk of a circuit breaker after Christmas and 2 weeks where you can't go to the pub after 5 o'clock and all this, I don't know what it is. We are beholden to it. I think, if you're talking about player safety, then they haven't made the interest of player safety, have they? They haven't made that decision 100%, because the 100% decision would be less games. You could have the 2 week break of something. Like, that's the ultimate player safety answer, if that's what the messaging was.
Well, the ultimate player safety answer, to be perfectly honest, is to take a 2 week break or 3 week break, but also make vaccinations mandatory for everyone in the league and all the staff that work at football clubs if they want to be 100% committed to it. But
they're never going to do that, are they?
No. Well, they might have to at some point, but the interesting tweet here from Melissa Reddy saying 77% of Premier League players have been double jabbed, 84% have had one jab. No specific details as to clubs or individuals be provided by the league, and player vaccination rates will now be publicly communicated at the end of each month, beginning in January, which is going to be interesting to see, because you there was one earlier from Dan Rowan, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Who said there's the same thing. 77% of Premier League players have received 2. The league says player vaccination rates will now be publicly communicated. And there was one, 84% on the vaccination journey was one, and then there was a newer one. Sorry, Joe, I'm just going to click off this a sec. Where I need to find, I haven't put that up on the screen yet, where 19% of players, Premier League revealed 19% of players in October had not had any jab. Now it's 16%, which you worked out the math means.
It depends. Like, not a lot, is it? Because if on average, if you've got 20 teams with a 25-man squad, I mean, it's not the 3% of that isn't a lot. It's just it's basically 20 times 25. It's not a huge.
It's double
amount.
Figures, but not by tons in terms of the.
No, total 20, 25 is 500. 3% of 500 is like 15 people. Yeah. So who knows? Like, we don't know. Like, again, it that depends on squad size and everything. And if they're counting 23.
Look, I'm on all this, and it's worth highlighting that I'm not an expert. Of course, I'm not there. But my point on all this boils down to, if we're being told that vaccination is the answer, then make vaccination the priority, you know, and that's what that, and if this just encourages, you know, we've had this happen in other countries where they've made proof of vaccination and entry requirements into venues and restaurants and all that, because they know that where the lowest take up on this is in a particular age group, who are the kind of people who would want that in their lifestyles. So they've made that a thing to try and encourage that to get up. And if that, again, it's just the thing. The problem we've got, without going too far down the political rabbit hole on this, is I get it. I get why people are sceptical, because the people who we've in this city, we've spent 40 years telling people don't trust Tories and we literally have banners at the ground. Don't trust the Conservative Party. Don't trust people in power and all that kind of stuff. And then now we're in a world where they're the ones tasked with telling us what we need to do to be able to get through this. And not only that, they're not fucking doing it themselves. So of course everyone's going to look at it and go, well, that doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
And that the message changes. So it was take two vaccines and then it'll be fine. And now it's like, actually need a third booster, and then it could be another one. I get it. Like, I'll be honest, I've had both my vaccines, and I'm going to get the booster. But I think Jürgen said this as well. He said morally, he thinks people should do it, but you can't. He doesn't think you should mandate people into any in terms of their body. And I understand that as well.
100%.
Yeah, so I don't think you can say to every
and it's not the same. And I appreciate that this is a loose analogy in this regard. But the one that reminds me of it was the 80s. Yeah, the early 80s when they made seatbelts in the back of car seats mandatory. They said, right, every car's got to have seatbelts. And our car, and it's people younger going like, seatbelts are always in the back of cars. Our car didn't have seatbelts in the back of it, because none of them did, because you didn't need to have them. And we had to take our car to the garage and go and get the seatbelt fitted. So I was allowed to drive. You couldn't take your kids in the car without the seatbelt in the back. And that was your choice. It was like, well, if you want to continue to use your car with kids, then you've got to have your seatbelt. All passengers in the back of your car, you've got to have seatbelts. And there would have been a point prior to that when seatbelts at all came in. And you had that choice where it's like, well, hang on a second, why am I putting myself out? I've got to find the time in my day. And I presume, but again, I didn't live that from the financial perspective, but get the money to make this kind of happen. But it became a thing, and now we're just accepting of it. And it has a little bit of that kind of vibe to it. It's just a shit. Because ultimately, from our regards, we just want footy to carry on. Yep. I want to see Liverpool go on and do what this Liverpool side should. And I'm at the position where it's small things that can tip over arguments and all that. Whatever it takes to make sure that Liverpool get to keep taking to the field. Because this is the thing, Liverpool are doing everything in their power. But you made the mention before, there's a point on, I think it was on one of Dan's one, the one about across the EFL. So it's 59% of our two jabs across the Football League. Like, you know, Liverpool are going to come up against Shrewsbury in the FA Cup, and I don't know what their vaccination rate's like, but you're going to come up against teams that aren't like that, and they then increase the risk of our players and coming into contact. It's a clusterfuck.
Yeah, it is. Again, I don't know what the right answer is. Like, the only way it goes but away is like what we saw over the last year or so, is when the rates go down, everything seems better and more things open up and football follows suit. It's no surprise football's where it is now, because the country's where it is now. Like, everyone knows someone who's had it recently or got it or is isolating because they've had it. Like, we work in an office where there was 8 people at times, and like 3 of us had it in the last couple of months. And like, it's everywhere. Like, that's where we are. And I just don't know what the answer. If the answer was just to stop footy.
Yeah, but the point is, you're not meant to know the answer, and I'm not meant to know the answer. And the problem is, again, it goes back to this erosion of trust. But somebody somewhere's got to make a decision. And if they have made a decision, at least, and the decision right now is they carry on and they continue to use their squads. But this isn't solving the problem. This is just living with it. But again, it all just feels like they're driving down this pathway of encourage as many footballers, because there's going to come a point where their working options are going to end up being limited. You know, you're going to be less inclined to sign a player who's more likely to miss football matches, or more likely to encourage to get other lads in your squad missing football matches and all that kind of stuff. and hopefully get to a point where, you know, that can happen across society such that we're not back in a situation. Because the worst thing for us as football fans is we get back to A, football being stopped, worst case scenario, and B, is we're back to empty football grounds again because it was shite.
And I think that's, to be honest, it looks like that's the way we're heading.
Yeah.
Or at least reduced capacities and stuff, like, again, circuit breakers and stuff. I wonder, Paul, again, we'll cross this bridge when we get to it, but like, if the government said 2 week circuit breaker at the tournament, which, by the way, it was maybe a 2 week circuit breaker last March and we were locked down till summer, so like don't bank on it. But if they said we're having a 2 week break of no fans in stadiums, no big gatherings and stuff, I wonder then if the Premier League would say, right, then we'll have a break then, because it's only going to be 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. We'll give them that 2 weeks, and if it goes past 2 weeks, then we'll go behind closed doors. But rather than having to play two or three rounds behind closed doors, I wonder if they'd say, right, we'll take the opportunity and we'll have the break now,
yeah,
just so that we can have fans. Well, because we saw them do this before, didn't we? We saw them do this at the end of last season where they postponed a round of fixtures a bit later so that both teams could have a home game with the fans in the stadium. We saw them do that.
It's just the knock of it. And to be fair, we're lucky in some regards that because lucky that the World Cup's been moved to the winter, but there's a free summer coming up.
You say that, but then the next season it starts earlier because of that World Cup. It's freer.
But to the point, you've not got footballers having 2 weeks and then going away for 6 weeks of a tournament. You know what I mean? So there's a bit more movement there if they need to. But it's the problem. It's a knock on impact because of the desperate need to keep spinning the money and keep having dough there. Is the major driving force. They don't give a shit about player welfare. And to that point about the vaccination thing as well, and I understand where the negativity and the theories have become, is like, they'll put whatever they want into the players. By the way, they do anyway. You know what I mean? They run players into the ground, left, right and centre over all of this, you know. But yeah, look, we had a super chat in from Tarek S. He says, if the FA says you have to show vaccination card or certificate showing you're negative before coming to a game, is that the same for players when they show up? Yeah, I mean, like, I guess the vaccination thing's an interesting point, but if they're saying vaccination or negative test, the players are all being tested now. So the idea is not to have to get anyone with positive, which is how we ended up losing Van Dijk, Matip, and Van Dijk, Fabinho, and Jones just before the Newcastle game, and Thiago just before the game at the weekend. So yeah, largely speaking, it is the same. Look, it's a mess, and you know, again, but it's.
Can we lighten the mood with some Christmas kickoff questions?
We absolutely will. We are going to.
It's a kickoff question. Maybe we'll change it to final whistle questions.
Yeah, we're gonna. So actually, let's. We're gonna be talking about Leicester in a second. We're gonna have a segment from this week, from today's final word show for you guys as well to get into. We talk about Alisson and his performance and the mistake leading to the equaliser. But yeah, get me some. Send me in if you're in the live chat. I want some good Christmas jokes, and I want some Christmas themed questions, and we'll do some of them in a little bit. But yes, short break from us, and then we will return with the podcast. Hey everyone, Mate here. Just a little insert from me to say that if you enjoy this podcast and the other podcasts that we put out for free and you want more, then my word, you can have more on the redmentv.com. Go over there, sign up and get extra bonus shows from us each and every week, as well as a whole suite of video content, documentaries, features and interviews. But yes, you can also play those podcasts in your native podcasting app as well to have a seamless Redmen TV experience in your ears. The redmentv.com. Sign up there today. The other player, obviously, we haven't talked about Robertson. The other guy who could quite comfortably have walked away with man of the match is Alisson Becker. Andy, he's the save from Dele Alli. It gets better when you see there's the angle from behind Alli and you see the fingertip. It's going in the bottom corner. Because I think for all intents, I guess probably in the ground as well, it just looks like he's missed it initially.
Yeah, no, I was right behind it. I saw the save, yeah.
Nice. It's phenomenal. There's the one-on-one with Son when he goes through.
He's so good.
And the amount of times rushing out and just shutting the danger down. It's another brilliant Alisson Becker performance until he just runs out and completely misses the ball and costs us 2 points effectively for him.
Yeah, I felt for him at the end because I don't know if this came through in the TV, but he sort of like came over and put the hand up to the crowd, and all the crowd just got right behind him singing the Alisson chant as well, because that has nothing to apologise about for his performance yesterday. Yes. He is the best keeper in the world one-on-one. Weirdly, in a way, where the player has to take it straight away, I think this is the thing with strikers, when they have to take a one-on-one straight away, they're always sort of more likely to score because there's less time to think about it. I think that's actually statistically true as well. Mm-hmm. But when you know you're in a one-on-one situation and he's time to get himself set. I feel like 9 times out of 10, he finds a way of keeping it out of the net.
Yeah.
And even the, you know, the alley squaring the ball across the Kane one, it's just phenomenal just to stay on your feet, to stay composed, and then to get up and make the save. I mean, what a goalkeeper he is. And I feel like when you're ranking goalkeepers and you're looking at them, you've got your average Premier League keepers who, you know, probably save most of the things they should save, but not an awful lot else. You've got sort of ones the rung below that who are maybe making a few more mistakes from saves they should make. And then you've got like one or two or three goalkeepers in the world who make these phenomenal saves that they've absolutely no right to get to.
Yeah.
And that Dele Alli one falls into that category. It's amazing.
I think you find this with goalkeepers is, and to be fair, we've had a couple of games this season. It's the nature of how we play. Alisson's had more to do this season, mm-hmm. and he's had more. I've chanted Alisson's name more this season than I have done in, you know, obviously certainly last season because I literally wasn't there.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, welcome back. Yeah, you can check the Final Word show out. It's streaming right now on Red Men Plus. We absolutely slaughtered the referees, and rightly so, because they were god-awful in the game at the weekend, and we had a good old chat about how amazing Jota is, and a bit more about Robbo and the sendings off, and why Harry Kane's a huge bell end. So yeah, if you want that streaming right now, just go over to theredmentv.com, join Red Men Plus, our Netflix-style Liverpool streaming service, and you can get that as well as a whole host of other bits of amazing content as well. Right, we put a tweet out asking for some kickoff questions. I'm going to find that because I've clearly lost that in the interim. Yeah, Ross put it out. We need some Christmas-related kickoff questions ASAP. We'll talk about Leicester after we've done a couple of these. Irish Leaving at Leaving Ireland asks, you've got Sadio in Secret Santa. When are you getting him?
Ooh. His goal-scoring boots.
Yeah. Just like an illuminated sign to hang off the crossbar that says, goal here. Yeah. I am maybe a little bit of like Rogaine.
Or go the other way and get him a razor.
He loves that. He loves the stripe thing though, doesn't he?
But his hairline starts like halfway up his head.
Well, listen, would you take it?
No, I could actually. Joe's laughing in the background. I can grow hair again. I can grow hair. I can do sort of a similar from there. Back.
I would love to see you do the Sadio and do with it.
Yeah, but no, because again, I've learned not to do that. So yeah, I'm going to go shooting boots.
Martin at Turner_LFC. What Christmas present would you get Paul Tierney?
Wow, good question.
I would shit down his chimney, big time.
Is that a euphemism? Or
yes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
I would take a massive shit in his chimney, and I'd give him an upper decker as well in the toilet. Let them deal with that one. What would you get him?
I was tempted to go for the old like pair of glasses, you know, like when you remember Pat Rice, the Arsenal assistant, used to wave his glasses at the ref. Yeah. I used to love it, granddad waving glasses at ref. So yeah, maybe that.
Yeah.
Maybe not a pair of glasses, maybe an old person to follow him round, just waving glasses at him. Like, yeah. You should be wearing these.
Pay someone to, yeah, to follow him around. Jeffrey Stocker, which of the Home Alone traps do the ref team from yesterday's game deserve to walk into the most?
The nail in the foot.
Nail in the foot was exactly the one that I was thinking. There's a great video on YouTube by Corridor Crew where they make Home Alone R-rated. So they basically do the nail thing, but it like goes through his foot and then pulls away and slices his foot in half. Like, I mean,
I've never watched that movie and not cringed at that part with the nail on the foot. Or, to be honest, paint can in the face would be fun.
Yeah, brick to the head.
I mean, that's murder. Bricks.
Only if he dies.
Okay, yeah. Attempted murder?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, okay, get a minor to do it.
Okay. Like, as in a kid or like a minor, like, who's down there, like... Just a fellow with a pickaxe.
Yeah, get a coal miner to do it. That's the solution to the problem, yeah, right? I mean, yeah, absolutely.
Bagel it.
Okay, sad. Annie's Anfield says, who would you most want to come to for Christmas dinner out of our team? And she says manager included, which gives you my answer straight away. But is anyone in that?
You'd school? Like Jürgen for Christmas, would you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Because I've been quite fortunate to I've had a bevy with him and that, but not more than a passing, you know, a few minutes of conversation. I wouldn't mind just sitting down and shooting the breeze with him and not having to think, I've got this amount of time with him. What are the best questions I could ask him in this amount of time? I'd just like to see how conversation flows.
Yeah, no, he's a very good, he's probably number one, obviously, in there. I was thinking of having like maybe Christmas dinner with Pep Linders, but I'd be worried that like, he starts getting the shakers and starts like the salt and the pepper and starts showing me 4-4-2 on the Christmas thing.
That'd be quite fascinating.
You sprout at left back and you know, you're pigging blanking in centre mid. So maybe, but if it was just purely the playing stuff, I think I'd like to see Andy Robbo. I bet Andy Robbo like downs a few tins at like 11 in the morning, don't he? Before Christmas dinner.
Yeah.
Like he's well oiled for Christmas dinner. Yeah. And then like he's either making fun or he's causing a massive fight, and at least it's entertaining.
Bet he is a massive prick when you're having like a family game of Monopoly or something. Like I bet he's either steals from the bank or
laughs in your face,
or is a board flipper.
Yeah, I mean, we're kind of stereotyping Scottish people here, I think.
No, I'm stereotyping Andy Robertson. I watched him try to kick a guy's leg off at the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
So, yeah, absolutely. And, yeah. we've got a good answer here, actually, from Tom in the comments, saying Joel Matip. This is the only correct answer to that question. Is it, you know, I don't know.
That might be the right answer because he's hilarious. So even he's one of those people who make you laugh when they don't even mean to make you laugh. Yeah. So again, you're having an entertaining Christmas dinner. I'd like to go
to his house and watch him try to cook and prepare because I reckon there'd be loads of limbs when he's burning his hand getting the turkey out the oven and all.
I think like even John Matip asking you for like, can you pass the salt would be make you laugh.
Oh yeah. Yeah, he's actually a dead sound. He's actually a really sound fella as well. So that actually would be pretty funny. Right, we'll take some more festive questions in a minute. But we obviously did the build-up show earlier on today, and we were having a little bit of a chat to the team. I've done the starting 11 prediction as well. You can check those out over on YouTube, of course, or on the website where all of the content lives. Now that we know that there's going to be no break, other than if Liverpool reach a point where they can't field an 11. We'd had this hypothesis that if they'd maybe taken the 28th game, they'd taken the Leicester game out of the fixture list, we might have gone a little bit stronger for the League Cup game. Do you think that's a pointer that we might just put a bunch of kids out for this game?
Yeah, I do actually. I think if he's going to be forced to have those two games, which are now going to happen, we're going to be playing on the 26th and the 28th, and we don't know who's going to be available for what. I wouldn't be surprised if he plays a very young team, like the under 23 team. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if that's what he did. Like, again, there's moral questions in that of just forcing kids out in COVID. I don't know. Against a team who've just come back, who had their own issues.
We'll get the lads who were too young to be vaccinated. Yeah, it's fine, whatever. You know what I mean? The government's saying they're fine to go out.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it'll be a very weak team. But again, it can't be that weak because we haven't got that many changes to make. Like, I was thinking the other day, it could be similar to the team that played in Milan, but then like half of them played the other day. The centre back's injured from the other day in that as well. So, like,
well, off that Milan team, you're probably not playing Alisson. Now Phillips is injured, so you can't play him. Divock Origi's touch and go. I don't know if it's too soon for him. So, there's already three that you can't play you can't play.
We've
in that
just
game.
Used Tyler Morton against Spurs. Do you want him ask him to go again? I mean, maybe you do, because then maybe you think hopefully someone else is back.
Hopefully
to play
Henderson the... should be back. At least he'll be back for the weekend on leg end, unless he gets unlucky with the.
It's so difficult to know what to do.
My only issue with this is because I was having a look at it and I had a big debate over who of the senior lads start. And I still think there's plenty there. It's the midfield where we're thinnest. So I think the back four pretty much picks itself. I think the goalkeeper picks itself. I think it's Kelleher. Then the back four picks itself. And the midfield is an issue because we're really light on numbers. But you've got loads of choice in the front three. And I think it will... But it's how hard we want to go for this. And my fear is you can go 2 weeks. And what you do by going 2 weeks is you make this a fucking huge slog for the other lads who you are playing. So it's all well and good saying, oh, whatever, you know, put Kay Gordon or put Muslowski up front or whatever, but we're still going to have to play a pretty Milner, Ox, Cater and Tyler Morton. At least two of them are going to have to play this game regardless.
I think so, yeah.
And there's a chance at least one of them then has to play it against Leeds. So you run the risk of...
Running the legs off them.
Yeah, and Canate's the same, or Gomez, one of those lads is going to have to play at the weekend.
Both, probably. Know,
possibly both. So by it's a bit of a false economy, I think, maybe going week for this, unless you're just saying, what's the most recent on the 23 side?
And it's an option. And like, I think Gordon will play. I think Cater Gordon will play. I think it'd be Minamino. It'd be ideal if Divock's back fit and available, because then he becomes the option. It wouldn't be the worst idea in the world to get some minutes into Roberto Firmino's legs, perhaps. Yeah, you know, he's only come on as a couple of substitute appearances recently. So maybe they might see the benefit of saying to Bobby, right, you play both Leicester games are yours, and Diogo, you're having the Leeds game. Like, there's an option there. But again, you can't plan ahead, Paul, because we just don't, again. Players are going to get injured. We've got so many games. Like, the COVID worry is still there and things like that. Like, if someone gets a snotty nose over the next, they're getting whipped out of that camp straight away, because we can't take a risk on it. Like, that's the problem. If someone starts, you know, if someone chokes on the cereal and starts coughing, yeah, he just hazmat suits around.
Yeah,
like,
being sprayed.
Like
with
a Monsters Inc. when the kid has the sock on his back. And then it's that. So we just don't know where we're at with it. I think he's going to... Here's what I think who won't play. Robertson can't with that one, but he wouldn't have played anyway, I don't think. The goalie won't play, Trent won't play, Salah won't play, Mane won't play. And I don't think Jota will play. I think those five I can rule out of starting the game. Everyone else is kind of like...
Firmino should be, you know, you'd imagine Firmino will play this.
I agree.
Minamino needs a game.
And then Gordon.
And then it will depend on whether Origi's fit. But the problem is, and we've got this, this is the January problem, the AFCON problem. We've got too many lads who all play in the same position. We've got plenty of bodies, but a lot of it relies on Salah just playing, because or Mane playing on the right, because no one else is really that good from the right-hand side for us.
No, he started Cader Gordon there in the Norwich game, so I wouldn't be shocked if he does that again, you're right. But yeah, again, mate, we're so insane. I don't know how many times I've said the word, I don't know, but I feel like, I don't think Jürgen cares if he loses this game. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm at, because I don't think I think he's pissed off that he hasn't got the game cancelled. He might do it to make a point, right? But like he did with the Villa Cup tie, you're making me play my kids' team. I'm playing the kids. Or the Shrewsbury. This was meant to be my winter break. We're all going on holiday. See you later. Have that. And he didn't even turn up. So he could even go as far as doing that. I think it's probably going to be somewhere in the middle.
If he's going to take a stand, it has to be this game, because he can't do it against Leeds and he can't do it against Leicester.
Exactly.
He's definitely not doing it against Chelsea.
And he's not bothered if he loses, because I don't think I think he hates the two-leg semi-final, which as it stands is still happening,
well,
by the way.
This is the thing that gets me. So, we didn't mention this up top. The FA have agreed to get rid of replays in the third and fourth round, which, you know, as far as traditional goes, that's actually a mad thing to potentially rob that of lower league teams who've got through, and the chance of getting a big team back to their goal. Ground or whatever, but we were joking before. It's like, if you've got all the sort of interested parties in English football around a table, then you've got the Premier League there, and you've got the FA Cup, and you've got that, and then they've got the Champions League on video call. And the Champions League go, not really to do with us. Catch.
See it in February.
Yeah. See me in February. And then you've got like the Premier League go, okay, well, we'll have to consider like a circuit break, and we'll have to consider behind that, all this. And the FA Cup, and everyone's looking at the FA Cup and going, all right, look, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll make a massive concession here. No replays in the third and fourth round. Okay. Anyone else? And everyone just turns and looks at the Carabao Cup, and the Carabao Cup is sat there just twitching on its awful energy drink, looking up the ceiling, and everyone's going, and you, mate, and they're all, rather than just addressing directly, they're all being very passive aggressive. So they're going like, and he's got, and they're going, oh, you want to get that cough looked at him? Have you had a lateral flow test? And Carabao Cup, why have you still got two-legged semi-finals? Stick him in the bin, you blurt.
It should never have been that anyway. It makes no sense that, because the whole competition, it's 90 minutes and penalties, 90 minutes and penalties, 90 minutes and penalties, 90 minutes and penalties. Here's the semi-final. You know what we're going to do? Different. Why? Don't know. Okay, sound. So it should never have been it anyway.
You've got three handles on your cup. Just that's fine.
You're different enough. We don't think you're the FA Cup. It's fine. It feels like it's trying to differentiate. It's not too much.
The final's in the middle of the fucking season. It's got three handles on the cup. Fine.
We know you're not. We know you're not the FA Cup. You don't have to try and be too different about it. So yeah, I don't think Jürgen's that bothered about it, if truth be told. We don't know what Leicester are going to be like, because they've had their COVID issues, and who's still allowed out, who's not, where we're at with them, who's trained, who hasn't. It's very much a secret as well. So I think the more I talk about it, the more I think he's just going to absolutely spew it.
Yeah.
And not risk anyone, because also, it's another day, Paul, where they're in the training centre together and they're on the team bus together and they're in the dressing room. And it sounds so harsh, but it's almost like saying to the young lads, don't give a fuck if you're a bubble yourselves. You're the under 23 bubble. We'll bring yous into it and see where we're at. I don't know.
My thing is, we just don't know what he really thinks about this competition, because, you know, we got to the final in his first season and we've never really gone for it since then.
Well, we had a semi-final against Southampton, and then we had the...
That was Brendan Rodgers though, wasn't it?
I thought it was Jürgen's ones. I do apologize. I think it was Jürgen.
Oh, was that the one we got through?
No, we got beat by Southampton in two legs, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then we had the one where we've had times where we've had to play the kids and stuff like that. So it's
to that point, that's what I'm kind of driving at, is there's no doubt he'll put a rotated side out, but we've seen already the rotated sides can be quite good, can still be pretty good teams.
He can beat Milan in the San Siro.
Exactly. But it's whether we go, it's just how rotated he goes and how we'll show whether he gives a fuck. And I don't know whether, because I wouldn't shock me if Salah or Mane started this game. I would not be shocked at all.
He's done it before. Exactly. He started him in the San Siro and he started him against Porto and stuff. So we don't know. I think a lot of it will come down to the fact that he'll be looking, he'll have to go backwards from the Leeds and Leicester games, hoping that no one else drops out in between them, which is a big hope, by the way, because God knows. But who do I need to be playing both of those games? Who's going to be doing what for me? Right, anyone who's playing two, I know you are out. You are having a break. You are having a rest now to charge for those. You lads, you might only need for one. Well, I'll take a few of yous in. Anyone who's playing against Leeds, you're less likely to play this game. It's a big melting pot. I ultimately think it comes down to the fact that he goes with a lot of young lads. Like, would you be surprised if it's Conor Beck's playing, if he's fit? Conor Bradley or Owen Beck, rather. Yeah. Like, Neco Williams, I'm certain he'll play. Yeah. I don't know if he classes him as a young kid anymore, but I think he'll play. And then you mentioned Gordon's there. We saw the lad who was on the bench yesterday. I must admit, I was completely unaware existed until he came on the bench. Harvey Blair started, didn't he, against Preston at one point. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if he goes six or seven young lads with a couple of backups.
You've still got to fill the bench as well, haven't you? Which is a thing. And it's just whether you go strong to start or you go off the bench. And it'll be a sports science question as much as anything else. We had a great question here from Key to Start. One turkey-sized pig in blanket, or five pigs in blanket-sized turkeys?
One turkey-sized pigs in blanket. I love pigs. Yeah. Otherwise, you're getting a little time. You're basically asking me to eat turkey nuggets.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Shite.
And I love pigs in blankets.
Yeah.
They're amazing.
They're incredible.
That's a big old piece of bacon. It's a big old sausage, isn't it?
Oh my God, it would be like a pig. Blanket.
Or it could be an actual pig, like on a spit roast, couldn't it? With a blanket, like a blanket of bacon.
A bit bony, bit of like...
You want a giant sausage?
Your words. Careful. Yes. But yes, absolutely. In any given situation, the answer is yes. I'm desperate for that. Absolutely gagging for it, Steve.
I'm not the man to deliver that, but I suppose someone else.
moving on. Chris McAvoy also said the paint cans and the blowtorch was his answer to the Home Alone question earlier on. Yeah. I think they're pretty reasonable shouts. I'd just be them referees having to run the gauntlet of some description. I mean, we did a Halloween themed show video with Lawrence McKenna and Robbie from Arsenal Fan TV, where they had to go through, Lawrence had to go through, what's it called, Farmageddon, which is what Farmer Ted's turns into over Halloween. Like, but if it was real zombies who could kill people, I'd be happy to see Tierney and Kavanagh run through that type of world. But yeah, if anyone's got CGI capabilities, also just put them in Home Alone and make us all feel better about ourselves. That would be absolutely splendid. Couple of quick questions to kind of round us up here to keep it the Christmas theme and hopefully bring us all back to a relatively even keel, because I say this before, I'm not looking to solve problems of vaccination. You do you. But there are also, you know, it's also what we live in, a society. And part of being in a society is you make sacrifices for the greater good. You make your life fractionally more difficult across the board. And if everyone does it, then it raises the bar for the whole lot. Harry Lavin says, you invite Roy Hodgson, Kenny Dalglish, Brendan Rodgers and Jurgen Klopp around for Boxing Day. What alcoholic beverages are you stocking the fridge with? I'd let them each choose their favourite bevy and then I'd have one of them. I'd like to try all of their favourite bevies.
Let's go around then. What's Roy Hodgson think? Sherry?
Shinzano and lemonade. I think he's
I think like sherry.
Oh yeah, or a port maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's whatever your nan drinks.
Yeah, Jurgen likes Erdinger from what we're told. Like, yeah. And don't skim it. Brendan.
There are other beers are available, by the way.
Yeah. Jurgen Klopp doesn't sponsor them.
Fucking skim it, by the way. Who the fuck wants a fucking giant
either skim it or put a fucking flake in it.
Skim the fuck out of that. Like, spoon it out and pour beer in the glass. Yeah, Jesus Christ. Like, wait,
I'm paying a fiver for the top of the shop, lad. Brendan.
Sorry, I worked in a proper like shithole pub in Sheffield when I was in uni, and I haven't named it. It's nice pub now. It's called the Broadfield on Abbeydale Road. They do good pies apparently, but it was a fucking shithole druggy pub when I worked there. And they brought in Stada Pramen in oversized glasses where it was pint to the line, not pint to the top, and no one could wrap their head around why they weren't getting a full pint. And it was like, it's like, so yeah. Don't just
fucking just tip it into the pint glass for you.
Just fucking fill your pint, Jesus Christ.
So Brendan, what does Brendan drink?
I think Brendan is a wine man. I think he, but I don't think he probably likes it. But
I was going to say his own juices.
I think Brendan tries to pass himself off as a wine intellectual,
but he's desperate for a Carlin.
But he's the kind of lad who probably in his youth was around the back of Tesco's with a can of Carlin.
And Kenny
whiskey? Is. I think Kenny is a wine man and is a proper fine wine man.
Yeah. I'd say my answer is whatever Kenny Dalglish wants.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think Jurgen would understand that.
Yeah, definitely. Without a shadow of a doubt. Nathan, who's at Co-Passion, says, we always play Monopoly at the end of Christmas Day. What would your go-to board game be? Or do you have a family board game for Christmas Day or around that?
The kids got off Santa Claus, who went and met him in the Dobby's the other week. It's a drawing game. It's like a bit like
Pictionary.
No, it's not as hard. Basically, you both, because it's kids as well, they both get a card and they have to draw the picture and then the adults have to guess what they're drawing. It's actually hilarious trying to watch a three-year-old like draw like a pie. Yeah. And then she gets really upset when she's going, it's obviously a pie, and it's just like a squiggle on the thing. So I'm going for that. It's good fun.
I'm all in for things that get people really riled up in the
Monopoly's just too long, that's the problem with
Monopoly
it.
Is too long. The Monopoly Empire is quite good for that though. That's a decent recommendation.
Yeah, the kids have got the racing car Monopoly, so it's a race around the track. That's quite fast.
You know, our go-to one in our family is Articulate. Big fan of that because
we've got Pictionary Air, so you draw with a pen in the air and it comes on the app.
It's amazing.
It's all right.
Shit then, yeah.
Well, it just looks like you're waving a giant dildo around when you're drawing them in. That's all it looks like. Sounds,
yeah.
Happy Christmas.
Yeah, right, sounds, yeah. Nixie says, if you could be transported into any Christmas film as a character, which one would you want to go into that includes animated films as well?
I
want to
be in the Muppets Christmas Carol, please.
Wow. As a puppet?
As a Muppet, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I love the Muppets Christmas Carol.
I'm a big fan.
And I'd like to be Kermit the Frog.
Okay,
and if I'm a Muppet, it's not as weird as me as a grown man going up to a puppet and saying, I love you so much and want to marry you and love you so much. I'm a fanboy. So if I'm a
Kermit fanboy.
Yeah, so if I'm a Muppet, then I can go and be a fan Muppet. I think that is more socially acceptable. So yeah, that's the answer.
I was just going to say the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but like, yeah.
That's a Christmas movie.
Iron Man 3.
Iron Man is, oh, don't stop. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I've had the question and I've somehow managed to dig myself out of there. Yeah, Iron Man 3. In fact, even the current Spider-Man film is set at Christmas. Hawkeye set at Christmas in your face.
I'm fine with it. I'm eating Kermit. So you fill your boots.
You're eating Kermit?
I'm meeting Kermit.
You are eating Kermit. Is that what you wanted to get him alone for? Is that why you want to meet him?
Listen.
Meet him to eat him?
Anything's on the table. I can't rule anything out. I'm a big fan of him.
Okay, sad.
I have frog's legs in the past as well, so.
Following on from the Home Alone thing from Andrew JB. In a Home Alone situation, which player is setting the best traps for Marv and Harry? And what are they? I thought about, you don't have to necessarily.
Who's the most cunning Liverpool player?
Yeah.
Good question. I reckon.
I think Pep Linders probably is a big fan of
Home Alone. I reckon he like would be like so like it's too intricate though that they'd end up like he'd end up messing it up. Like there's too many things have to go right for Pep to get it right.
Yeah.
I think if you want someone who's is cunning but like. Isn't
yeah, he's got to pull the door handle at a 25 degree angle, otherwise it doesn't ignite the thing, and then he just walks into the house instead. Yeah.
So who? I think could do it. It would be quite good at that one because I think he'd be like a silent assassin. Would be Allison because he's just such a nice man, but I reckon like he'd be willing to like.
It's his house.
Yeah.
He has to defend it. Kind of thing. Yeah.
He might hit you over the head with his guitar.
He's got the righteous power of the Lord on his side.
He believes he believes in protecting his home, yeah. And I think it ends in being like the honky tonk man, just whacking someone over there with a guitar, Jeff Jarrett.
Sorry. Oh yeah, absolutely, slap nuts and all that stuff. Like, I mean, I think you've got to be someone impatient scamp like who's going to do it. So I think Robbo would do it, but I think it would be again an R-rated thing where I think he would get murdered because if Robbo was giving Emerson Royale a playful tackle and try to kick his leg in half,
someone breaking into his house.
Yeah. Well, I used to joke like, you know, like don't play fight with girls from Ireland because they don't understand the concept of play fight. You know, you have play fight. Oh, mess him out. No, like, and don't play. Oh, funny. Let's set some funny non-lethal trap. With Andy Robertson because you are going to get murdered in that house.
Yep.
And he's going to go, hey, I got you with that like miss in your face. And there's just that, you're just a bloody stump on the floor. And he's like, oh, all right. Okay. Never mind. Just mops up and gets on with his day. Right. Look, thank you so much to everyone who's joined us for an impromptu festive Red Men podcast. Just about.
I mean, we saved it, I think, at the end.
Yeah, we've pulled that back. Don't be trying to
with
be
giant sausages and meat and came with the frog.
That's what you're here for. Giant sausage. Yes, thank you so much for joining us. It's been wonderful. If you want more Red Men content, because we're going to be here, we're going to still be making content regardless of what happens with footy. If you want a Liverpool streaming service to keep you occupied over this festive period, then do go and sign up for Red Men Plus. As I've mentioned before, it's like Netflix for Liverpool fans. We've got pre and post game coverage of every single Liverpool match. There won't be a watch along for Boxing Day because we are taking Boxing Day off as is the Red Men tradition, but we will be having post-match content and final words and all that in the week and days that follow. There is the 50 Greatest Premier League Players, a two-part special coming on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, and the reaction debate show to it as well on Boxing Day. There's interviews, full exclusive interviews with Steven Gerrard, with Jurgen Klopp, with Trent Alexander-Arnold, with a whole host of Liverpool players, managers, and a hell of a lot more as well. So yes, rather than getting the TV guide and looking up what you know you're going to be hiding from your family or getting snuggle in with your family to watch, give Red Men Plus a go. Gift cards are available on Red Men merch. And if you become a club legend, you're entered into competitions, daily competitions from now till Christmas Day to win amazing Liverpool prizes. And you get in our Discord group, which is full of wonderful individuals. Right. Thank you. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
Let's go and get on with the rest of our lives because the football is going to carry on and so will we. Hope you guys are cheery. If you've got any more Christmas things that you want to share with us, do use our social accounts. Other than that, we will return for the watch-along Liverpool-Leicester Carabao Cup on Wednesday night. Ta-da.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Welcome to Sincerely Sloan, presented by Uninterrupted. I'm your host, professional tennis player, wife, parent, and entrepreneur, Sloan Stevens. As an athlete and as a person, my journey has had a lot of twists and turns, from moments of adversity and doubt to unimaginable triumph and satisfaction. Throughout the season, I'm joined by some of the biggest names in sports, entertainment, culture, and a few members of my tribe. Our conversations keep it real and push it past skin deep. We reveal the perspectives, routines, and products that allow each of us to show up at our best. Join me on my journey of self-discovery and many, many laughs along the way. Sincerely, Sloan.